Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Let's have a little free agency fun. Well, not technically free agency, but acquiring other players, because NBA free agency is about to kick off. Well, last night, Bobby sent over the story. Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station. Choppy will be back on Thursday from Alabama. The New York Times and The Athletic report that the Mavericks and Clippers have discussed a deal that would send the seven-time All-Star Kawhi Leonard to Dallas for a package that would include, I love that they have specifics on this, PJ Washington, Klay Thompson, and draft picks. Now, the two most common responses that I got from Mavs Tolos yesterday were, what draft picks, number one, and number two, thanks but no thanks. Is this organization ever going to learn to stop putting old injured players on the court? Of course, Masai Ujiri has a part of Toronto legendary status for that championship that he got because he traded for Kawhi Leonard as a member of the Raptors. And this is The Athletic saying he's trying to reunite again.
Yeah, and he's somebody who I 100% believe. There was a joke right after he got hired that a bunch of Raptors fans were like, "Up, Jakob Poeltl incoming. That's his guy." Like he's got like a handful of guys that he loves, and he's gonna go get them. This is what guys do. Whenever you get new GMs or whatever else or new coaches, we always talk about the like. I remember here in Dallas, it was the Fobs, and it was the Friends of Bill. When Bill Parcells got hired here, everybody went, "All right. Ray Lucas, who's coming here?" Like, he loves a handful of guys. He's going to bring some here. Masai Ujiri's the same way. And if one of the bigger veterans out there that is available to be acquired this offseason is Kawhi Leonard, I don't know. I don't think it should surprise anyone that he would have at least called. I'm surprised the Clippers seem at least interested to talk about it, because I don't know that they have anything worth moving around with, other than if the Clippers just want to get off the contract.
Yes, and it's a $50 million contract. For the 35-year-old, he turns 35 today, and 1 year left of team control. And we know that Kawhi and contracts and negotiating can be a total pain in the ass. So you just gave Masai's perspective. Now I need your opinion.
Yeah, go do it. Do it. But I mean, what else are we going to put out there right now? Yeah, and Kawhi, like, I know he has missed a bunch of time. He is not Anthony Davis in terms of missing time. Like, it's not that bad. 21-22, he missed the whole year. And then he played 37 games 2 years ago. But outside of that, his games played, a lot missed in here, but it's 60, 57, 52, 52, 68, 65. Like, that sounds like slightly below what a lot of stars play these days.
And I would be really interested to go get the top 10 scores in the NBA over the last 3 years and tell me their average amount of games played.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it'd be at around 65. Kawhi also averaged a freaking career high last year. He averaged 28 points, 28, 6, and 3.
He is a 40% three-point shooter for his career.
He's so efficient.
I know, but I don't even think of him as being that guy. Like in terms of from the perimeter a lot of the times, yeah. And he is.
50% from the field, 86% from the line. I think this is one of those things, and I need to come up with a name for this, of, you know, if you're a Clippers fan, you're like probably good riddance. We got, you know, the big free agent, the moves, Jerry West, the architect, the logo, got us Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You were supposed to be in the NBA Finals. So Kawhi's Clipper run has not only been a disappointment, it's been controversial because other Mavs fans are like, watch, the NBA will drop the damn suspension hammer on him for getting paid under the table right when he becomes a Dallas Maverick. And if you're not watching Kawhi Leonard every single day, day in and day out, you probably have my reaction of, huh, what is that? What is that over yonder? What is that over there? 28 points a game, 65 games played, and then you get him, and then you remember what you were criticizing as a sports talk host and making fun of with all of his games missed and his lack of personality and the frustration that does come with Kawhi Leonard, who is still a damn good player. But I will admit, My first reaction to this was, yeah. The first reason was because of the possible compensation. Now, I don't know what draft picks we're talking about here with the lack of team control. I think next year's goes to Charlotte. Unless it's a top two picks, you better damn sure hope that you're not as bad as you were this year. But P.J. Washington, Klay Thompson, okay. Bye-bye, see you later. Like, I love Klay's personality. And when P.J. is on the floor and his ankle's not rolling, nice toughness. You know, those are fine, okay guys off of your bench or P.J. if you want to start him. But why would the Clippers take this unless somehow the Mavs have enticing draft picks? I don't understand why this would be enough. But the second reason I was in on it, because it allowed me to at least understand a direction. And that is what I asked last week, and that's what I keep asking. What's the plan here? What is the goal? Masai Ujiri sat up there and said, every single move is for Cooper Flagg and the future. We don't have to rush to do things today. Now, this would be the second time that he sports lied at the podium. The first was, guys, getting rid of Jason Kidd, look at my future. My history, my MO is I go in and I stick with the coach that's there. I just don't go ahead and instantly clean house. That was the first sports lie. And this would be the second one if they were trying to get him, because he did sit up there at that podium. Mac Engel was there. Mac will join us at 8 o'clock this morning and say, we don't need to win today. We're not trying to go ahead necessarily and do it today. This is for Coop's future.
Yeah, but if you were to...
But I didn't understand then why you keep Kyrie. And it's just a tug of war in terms of direction. This one, at least, you didn't address really scoring with your draft picks. Right? This would at least let me understand, okay, now it makes more sense to keep Kyrie if you're going to try to go for it now more so with Kawhi, and you added scoring that you didn't get in the draft.
Yeah, when he says, yeah, look, we're trying to build the future and we're not trying to do this or that, it's like, you can say that and believe that, but if you find out the Clippers will give you Kawhi Leonard for PJ and Klay, it's like, well, PJ and Klay aren't helping us now really anyway, so cool.
Yeah.
So you're talking about...
I mean, look, truth be told, and again, I love the guy's personality, except for maybe what he did to... Is it Nicki Minaj? Or is it another girl?
It was Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion. Except for what he did to old poor Megan, who I clearly remember very well. Klay Thompson, he's not even an asset to me. It's like Klay, okay. Like I view Klay is basically, you know, he's a roster spot that'll hit you two or three threes a game.
We all remember what Klay was.
Yeah.
And so that kind of damages what he is now, which is as a 35-year-old shooting 38% from behind the line. It's like, it's not like the worst player in the world. It's just, you remember who he was. And so it's like, well, that's not the same guy. But if he was just, that's who he, like, that's just kind of been his career, like, you'd accept that generally. But at the amount that you're paying him, no. And at the amount that, like, if the opportunity is there to get a player like Kawhi Leonard, who is hurt a lot, like, for instance, so he and Anthony Davis over the last 7 years or 8 years, I think it was, he's played three more games than AD. But in there, he missed an entire season, which means on average, his season is more, he's more consistently, he's got more seasons of like 60 games than AD does in the last 8 years. So he's done it two out of the last 3 years. He's played 62 games or more, whatever it was. And he's somebody who, if you can roll out there with a lineup that is Cooper Flagg, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Najee Marshall, and Derek Lively or Daniel Gafford or whatever, that's not a bad basketball team. Like, you can win with them.
I guess Mark Stein is shooting this down. I don't know with whatever his Substack is, but I trust Kevin Gray, who kind of summarized it and said, thanks to Mark for shutting this down. That was a crazy 4 hours. Now we can go ahead and move on. So KG, at least, and many others, not a fan. But if you're telling me, again,
they swapped out all of Stein's people, so I mean, how would he know?
We need to fill in the blank with what the draft picks are. But if it's PJ Washington, Klay Thompson, and nothing crazy in terms of draft picks, yeah, do it. I view that as almost free.
What year is the next draft pick, first round draft pick, the Mavericks have that is theirs, that they don't have to give to anybody,
or like
have
in
pick
four
swaps?
Years?
2031. This in this state, we will have two separate elections for governor before the Mavericks own their next first-round pick. That's insane to think. Imagine if the Cowboys were in that position. If I told you the Cowboys will not have their first-round pick again for five years,
oh,
that you'd feel just defeated.
Empty.
And that's the thing is that if you can, they don't really have any picks to move. So this sounds like if that's the case, if that's what's being discussed, the Clippers just want off the contract. They don't think he's coming back. There's probably with this Aspire or Inspire, whatever the hell it was, that whatever that deal is with Pablo Torre, they probably just don't want to be connected to whatever that is anymore, I would guess, or they want a divorce from whatever that is. And so, yeah, if you're telling me that that's the team, and then there's still the buzz that they're going to move Gafford at some point, probably to the Lakers. And if they do that, all right, you're going to get some more assets there. If Merez Johnson is who you think he can be, like, it's starting to look like a team that, like, okay, you can be a competitive basketball team next year if you can get these pieces in place.
Yahoo Sports, Kevin O'Connor reporting the Warriors want both LeBron and Anthony Davis.
So that team would have been scary 10 years ago.
We've kept hearing LeBron Warriors, LeBron Steph, LeBron Draymond. We know that they're all buddy-buddy over there, especially LeBron and Draymond. So this is the Warriors supposedly wanting both LeBron and AD.
You remember like those charity 3-on-3 games or whatever that they would do, like where it was like, all right, we've got the three former NBA All-Stars against the three celebrities who just kind of play basketball, and they do those on NBC like 20 years ago during the All-Star break. This is that's what the Warriors would be doing. That Warriors team would be, everybody would be like 40 years old basically at this point, it feels like.
Would they be better than us without Kawhi?
No.
No?
No, or with, without Kawhi, yes. I thought you were talking about with Kawhi. Without Kawhi, yeah. I mean, there's still stuff that needs to fall into place for Dallas. But
now, the year that I beat you in the football bet, which is supposed to be your expertise, you beat me in the basketball bet.
Which bet was that?
It was about a number of games won.
Okay.
But you bet the under on the Mavs win total versus what I thought. Because of the injury factor of AD and Kyrie and a lot of Luka disgust and Nico hatred, you wouldn't feel that much different about Kyrie and Kawhi in the same lineup. I know you just went through the difference between AD and Kawhi's injuries, but still, we're talking about Kawhi Leonard and then Kyrie on top of it. Why would we not be sitting here?
Like, I mean, they're not. It's one of those things where, because obviously, like, you're talking about Flag is still in there, and we're talking about Lively and these other guys who are younger. They've got their injury issues, but we're talking about, like, they are a younger basketball team. Even still, Kyrie and Kawhi we're still talking about as being younger than the core of the Warriors. This was the Warriors last year. In fact, going into next year, these were guys that were on the Warriors last year. Draymond Green is going to be 36. Jimmy Butler's going to be 37. Steph Curry's going to be 38. Al Horford's going to be 40. LeBron's into his 40s. Anthony Davis is 33, but he's 33 in dog years. He's like 150 the way that he moves. And so I don't know that there would be an older roster in basketball, like in basketball history, than that one.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones. Three to shoot. Kawhi for the win.
Did he say it's in or hot damn?
Hot damn!
He said hot damn.
Okay, that's what I heard
as
well.
That's what I'm hoping he said. You know what? If he didn't, stealing it.
Yeah.
Hot damn!
Jared, that should be your home run call in the future.
Oh, man. Hot damn! Peterson's done it again. It kind of sounds like that.
And then he takes a shot of hot damn.
Oh, that.
Every time a home run he gets hit.
That would be fun. Now, I realize that Shams is reporting that the Clippers and Raptors are, quote, seriously engaged in trade talks. They're not regularly engaged in trade talks. They're seriously engaged in trade talks. So this all might be a moot point, but I wanted to throw out to you the concept and the idea of the Mavericks being interested in Kawhi Leonard and see what y'all think, because this is how I knew it was going to be a good deal if the Mavericks could pull it off. Is Clippers Twitter was very upset last night, and they were like, "Here's I'll give you a sampling of Clippers Twitter. If the Clippers accept this trade, please boot that dumbass franchise out of the NBA." That feels kind of harsh. Kawhi for a bag of chips and S. Come on. And then another person, if we don't get anything else legit, this is disgusting. And they said, ask for Derek Lively. I would be willing to listen to that conversation. And then the Clippers somehow always find a way to start another rebuild without calling it a rebuild.
Okay. Hold on real quick. I want to just pause on something you just said. Because 2 years ago, there's no chance in hot damn that you are trading Derek Lively.
Agreed.
Okay. Right now, is it because of your rookie Moore? And you're trying to keep Gafford around?
Give me cut 13. This is why it is. This is Derek Lively. This is from over the weekend. And I think this is why it is.
You know, I'm not able to run and jump yet. I'm taking my time. I'm taking even more time than I need to make sure I don't ever have to deal with this foot again. So whenever I can get past that, get over this hill, I know I'll be home stress-free.
Is there like any milestones that you've set for yourself, like a day, like a training camp or a first game of the season?
I can't even say that. I'm just waiting to see that my foot's good. And you know, even when it's good, I gotta wait even more to make sure I don't have to deal with this again. You know, I'm never gonna rush back. I'm never gonna worry about that. You know, if I gotta take, you know, the things that the fans, the public got to say about me, you know, I'm brittle, I'm all that. Cool. But whenever I come back, don't forget who I am.
Hold on. Don't forget that part there, Kevin. He still is that guy. All right. So you just don't think that he's ever going to be not injured?
See, I...
Or you're willing to let him be not injured on somebody else's time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because here's the issue with that. And if that would be something that would make it more palatable for the Clippers, especially when you find out that the Mavericks tried to trade Daniel Gafford and they just weren't getting people biting with a first round pick, which I have to admit, that surprises me. But the market is what it is and you have to adjust accordingly. Derek Lively was phenomenal his rookie year and showed a lot of promise. He still played 55 games. Over the last two seasons combined, he's played 43 games. And so I'm not saying he can't be great, but look, you're already to the end of his rookie contract. This is the last season of his rookie contract. Now, he would still be a restricted free agent, but if that's what makes it palatable for the Clippers, you don't really have that much draft ammunition to begin with. And if you're like, let's see if you can rehabilitate Derek Lively, who sure doesn't sound like he's going to be ready to start the season, and you'll take the albatross that is Klay Thompson off our hands, and you'll get a quality player in PJ Washington and a draft pick, then so be it. And I still think Derek Lively can be a really good player. I just like, that's hard to build around.
All right. Kawhi's money comes off the books after one year.
Yeah, Kawhi's for 1 year. So you are taking a gamble in theory, but I have a different feeling about that. But go ahead.
On paper, if all of the players are healthy, you got a pretty good team.
Hell yeah, you got a really good team.
Like Kyrie's a very good player, hopefully still.
For sure.
Working next to Kawhi, very good player.
For sure.
Unfortunately, it seems like both of those guys would miss as much time as Derek Lively. But Derek, you're more concerned about Derek Lively's future down the road, too, than anything else, and missing out on being able to move this. I get that. I loved Kawhi the player. I've always loved Kawhi when he's on the court. Terrified of him.
Sure.
I've never loved Kawhi off the court stuff. That just comes with the big question mark of will he, won't he? And isn't that the game we just played last year and we've been playing with all these guys? I'm back on radio, guys. It feels like Corey Seager at times where you're just like, he could be the best whenever he's out there. And then he's not out there and I don't know when I'm going to get him back. So that's where I'm just kind of like, but making the appropriate moves to open up cap space for you to do something and making the appropriate draft picks so far, I think the Mavericks have done a pretty damn good job in the last two drafts now of adding two quality players to build this foundation on. So at first I was like, no, because I don't want that dude who I just don't know if he's ever going to play. But if he's gone after a year potentially, then we get it's one more year, though, of being kind of bad again, maybe.
So, okay. I'm not here to argue against that from the 682. So is this actually going to happen? I mean, I would say no.
Yeah, it seems like Toronto's more invested now.
Exactly. But if it did happen, here's going to be my pitch, because I understand what you're saying. But then again, it just takes that one healthy run. Like, think about in 86, when all of a sudden Bill Walton's healthy for the Celtics, and nobody has a shot in hell at stopping them. If you got the healthy Kyrie, and you've got Cooper Flagg, and you get the healthy Kawhi Leonard, or whatever that's going to look like the Clippers did last year, realistically, then you could have a hell of a team. But to your point, because I'm always trying to hedge my bets either way, right? So Kawhi Leonard's money comes off the books this year. So that's $50 million that would be coming off your books. And even if you made this trade, you would still be slightly under the salary cap, whether you included Derek Lively or whether you didn't. You'd still be a little bit under the salary cap. And now you take that money off the books. That puts you in potential to have a max spot. And then if Kyrie Irving did not opt in to his player option, with him and Kawhi, that would be $93 million off the books. So just the way I'm thinking about it is, take your shot. Take your shot with the veterans. And if it doesn't work, you could potentially have $93 million coming off the books, which what does that give you a chance to do then? That gives you a chance to move forward with, you know, if you think it's Max Christie, Cooper Flagg, Merez. And then you can add however you see fit or continue with the youth movement. And to me, you'd essentially be trading P.J. Washington for Kawhi Leonard. And that's a deal I'm all about, because P.J. Washington's about to start the first year of his four-year deal. Now, it's not an overwhelmingly crushing deal, but that's another like $20 to $24 million you'll have off the books every single year.
You can go get Jokic.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, look, I heard the rumblings as well.
I'm looking at the potential. Jokic might not be signing that offer.
Yeah,
and extending with them. I'm just looking at the list, Kevin. And initially, the 27 free agency board looks amazing. Steph,
yeah,
Giannis, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Jokic, Karl Anthony Towns.
Jimmy Butler might be available in a buyout. By the way, if you really, Corey, want to go age in the cage right here and just get a whole bunch of older players, Jimmy Butler might get traded and bought out. So then, if you want to trot out Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi, Merez, and Cooper Flagg, you could do it and have the most bizarre age gap in your starting lineup. This could be
Donovan Mitchell, Kawhi, Kevin Durant, like the list of star talent that's out there, but it's all old.
Right.
And this team, I know you just said that one magical run, it is built on the future of Cooper Flagg.
You're right. And so just my general thought is, if the powers that be have decided we want Kyrie to go forward, then why the hell not take a swing at Kawhi? If you've already decided we're going to compete right now and not really tear this down and rebuild it from the ground up, whether that's for Cooper's sake or for the new regime's sake or for our sake, don't know. But just go for it. I would say just go for it. And that's partially because I heard the package, as we all have said, is PJ Washington, Klay Thompson, and draft compensation. And I'm like, great, we don't really have much draft compensation. You can take Klay Thompson, and PJ for Kawhi sounds fine to me. In the meantime, like I said, I don't think it's going to happen, because it sounds like the Raptors are really serious about this thing. But I think it's worth further looking into. And then from the 972, why is no one talking about Marvin Bagley? He's a good power forward. Is he not starting for the Mavericks? So I guess my only question there would be, what is his price? And he doesn't play defense. I'm not going to argue against you.
Played a little bit better defense for the Mavericks. A little bit better.
Okay.
Like, his history has shown you that he does not.
Right.
For some reason, I don't know if it was him going, man, I better.
Right.
Be a little bit better, or maybe it was maybe Jason Kidd got the most out of him, you know, because Jason Kidd was that kind of coach. But I don't know what it was. But he was I felt marginally better than I'd seen him in before.
Okay,
but agreed.
Well, how much money does he want?
That's a small sample size for what that amount of money that he might demand.
Yeah, look, and if people looked at him and they're like, meh, I wasn't impressed by your season, and he goes, I will once again sign for one year, $3 million, then I'm like, well, hell yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Same thing with Chris Middleton. If he's like, getting paid is stupid, I'll come back to your team.
Will he be a progress stopper for Mraz, though?
I don't think so, because I think those two can work in cooperation, because you're not loading Bagley up with like 40 minutes or even 30 minutes, I wouldn't imagine. So I think you could see those two in cooperation.
Who are you loading Mraz up with?
I think Mraz could go 25 to 30 minutes for sure to kick it off.
Nice.
But I am of the opinion.
You think his coach thinks that too?
Yes, I do.
His coach is
Get
him on the court as often as possible.
I am of the opinion that at some point this week, P.J. Washington or Daniel Gafford will no longer be on the Dallas Mavericks. In part because of that draft pick.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
How are we feeling about Kawhi Leonard and the Mavs? Is this still a thing? I know we mentioned it Friday. Today, there's more Clippers and Raptors momentum, but I'm still seeing Mavs Kawhi Leonard on the timeline here. Is this still a realistic thing to talk about?
I think that the momentum certainly has shifted with Shams. Like, Clippers and Raptors are in serious talks here. So maybe if that falls apart, I mean, I was chatting with Eric a bit about this before the show. When I saw the Sam Amick in the Athletic report, and it's P.J. Washington, Klay Thompson, and maybe draft capital, like, to me, I got excited about it. I'm like, yes, let's do this. I mean, when Kawhi plays, he is phenomenal. He averaged 28 points, played 65 games last year, which I was shocked looking through his game log. That is the second most games I think he's played in the entirety of his career. So you know what you're getting here with Kawhi. You're not going to get a guy, if he plays 60 games, it's like, hell yes.
First time he did that since 2019.
Yeah, it's
when
amazing.
When he won the title.
But he was playing at an MVP level, had the Clippers, and you saw what they were without him. You're a dumpster fire team that's a top five lottery pick. With him, he's dragging them along to where they're now competing to be in the postseason. I just look at what San Antonio did, and they make the finals in year three with Wemby. I get Cooper Flagg is super young, but I don't think just because a player's young doesn't mean, okay, we need to punt on contending. If you can add a player like Kawhi Leonard and you get Kyrie Irving back, now what version of Kyrie, that's a big question, but let's say he's 80% of what he was. A Kyrie Irving, a Kawhi Leonard, and a Cooper Flagg, and you're giving away guys that you're going to probably trade anyway, and I don't know what you're going to get for them. I got excited about the idea of the move. I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's probably somebody else that can outbid Dallas. But Kawhi's the type of player, man, that really could have this team competing in the West pretty damn fast. You've got a question about Derek Lively's health. I think that's probably the biggest thing. If I could get Lively to play 60 games, I think this team could make noise with Kawhi Leonard in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it'd be a rental, and you're talking about Klay Thompson. Who cares? P.J. Washington. I mean, that's a legit dude. But then the draft picks. It's like I kind of want to be in a stage where I'm accumulating picks right now. Even when we laugh off the Daniel Gafford trade to the Lakers, and it doesn't seem like any team's willing to give a first round pick for Daniel Gafford at this point, but it's still, I'm getting some level of an asset here as we're trying to build. Can I move on from that draft pick at some point to acquire a player down the line? Of course you can. So I'd be more interested in accumulating draft picks instead of taking a one-year flyer with a Kawhi Leonard who's not going to re-sign with you. And I don't know that you'd want to re-sign him anyway. Huge money for an injury-prone guy. I don't know that I'd want to anyways. But I'm just in the mindset of trying to accumulate more picks right now and build something that can be sustained with a rookie head coach in Dusty May, who I really believe in, and Cooper Flagg, of course, and just the youth movement. That's kind of what I'm wanting to go for right now. But you also had Mark Stein. So it was The Athletic who was reporting that the Mavericks were interested in a trade for Kawhi. Mark Stein said Dallas is not currently regarded as a plausible trade destination in this case and has not yet been presented to Leonard as such.
Okay.
So I do think this ultimately ends up with him with Toronto, because he's saying he would extend with Toronto, and Toronto clearly wants him pretty bad.
Yeah, you know, it's I wouldn't hate the idea of trading for him because of what Wolchuk mentioned, but when you start talking about the extension.
Yeah.
Like if he starts getting hurt, you could have a $60 million player that doesn't ever play for you again.
Yeah.
Like that's what I think is potential with Kawhi Leonard at 34 years old, you know, and he has gone through a lot to try to stay active. Is he at a point in his career where he's grinding for his next and final chance to write a final chapter in his legacy? Or is he thinking, I just want one more big contract so I can sail off into the sunset? And I don't know how to answer that question, but it's a huge risk. There's nothing that's been discussed that could bring the Mavs as close to a championship as Kawhi Leonard playing at the top of his game. He was seventh in MVP voting last year. Yeah. You know, he is.
So he's awesome.
When he's out there, he is still really good.
He's so good.
Even though he can barely jump.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, he just bullies people, and he's a good two-way player at age 34, so I like it. But at the same time, the other part of that coin is there's nothing that represents possible failure over a long period of time for the organization than if you would bring in Kawhi Leonard and have that not work out for you. So it's terrifying to me, and I think I would just rather continue to pursue my options.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.